I have so many problems, you have no idea.
Okay. Okay, good evening. This week's parsha is Parshas Toldos, and it's the first Shabbos in the month of Kislev. We are now within 30 days of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, less than 30 days already. And as we mentioned many times, the parsha that we read at a given time is related to that time. So Parshas Toldos is a Kislev Dika parsha. It's a parsha that is associated with the month of Kislev. It's always read in the vicinity of Kislev. And as the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah is approaching. We mentioned last week what the Baal HaTurim says. Baal HaTurim says that the Eila Toldos Yitzchak at the beginning of the parsha here is a continuation of how the parsha ends off in Parshas Chayisara, Al Panei Kol Echov Nafol, which refers to the downfall of Yishmael. And the Baal HaTurim says, when Yishmael falls, that's when Toldos Yitzchak, when Ben David sprouts, that's when Mashiach comes. So he clearly is connecting the Eila Toldos Yitzchak to the coming of Mashiach. So this is a Mashiach de Kaparsha on the one hand. This is a parsha also that has in it the word bracha more than any other parsha. There are more brachas in this parsha than there are in any other parsha in Chumash. By every aliyah you have the word bracha, which you don't find by any other parsha, and most of the aliyahs end with a bracha. Even the first, which doesn't end exactly, but right before that is a bracha. The Hebesi Azaracha Kechech VeHashamayim. The second aliyah ends with Vayevarchehu Hashem. The third aliyah ends with the bracha of Hirchiv Hashem Lanu Parinu Ba'oretz. The fourth aliyah ends Ki Ata Ata Baruch Hashem, ends with a bracha. The fifth aliyah contains the ultimate, the greatest bracha, the bracha that Yaakov gives to, that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov Avinu, V'yitam L'cha Elokim, which continues into the sixth aliyah, which also ends with a bracha, V'yitam L'cha as Birkas Avraham. One bracha after the other. This is a parsha of bracha, Hoysofa, V'yitam L'cha, Yitain, V'yachzer, V'yitam, Toldos, Leida, Leida is bracha, Leida is gilui, revelation. That's what birth is. Birth is that the child that was concealed in the womb becomes revealed. That's the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov where the hidden becomes revealed. The jug of oil that was buried, that was hidden, becomes revealed. And as the Bnei Yisoscha tells us, it's the Yom Tov in which the Or HaGonuz, the hidden light that was put away at the beginning of creation, becomes revealed in the 36 Neiros of Chanukah. Yet, when we look at the majority of this parasha, which is a very puzzling parasha, the fact that, as all the Sforim speak about, Yaakov has to circumvent to get the brachas from his father and do it in a conniving way and in a seemingly deceitful way with Rivka's help, and Rivka's telling him to do it, and he wouldn't do it on his own. And not only is he doing that, but he's putting on clothes that don't belong to him, so he should look like someone else. This was not something that Yaakov enjoyed doing. Yaakov's midah certainly was not sheker. Yaakov is emes, titen emes li Yaakov. And all the mefarshim ask, why does he have to get the bracha that way? Why doesn't Yitzchak just give him straight? Why didn't Yitzchak know that, or did Yitzchak know? He didn't know, as far as speak about who Yaakov was. He definitely knew who Yaakov was. He just thought that Esav was greater, or that Esav has more potential. So why didn't the bracha just happen straight from Yitzchak to Yaakov without having to go through all of this seemingly conniving, deceitful act? And this is the result, this causes all the anti-Semitism that we suffer from till today. And so says the Drushas HaRan. The Drushas HaRan is a famous shtickle from the Ran in the Drushas where he talks about this. And he asks this question, why did Hashem make it this way? And this leads to Vayistoim Esav es Yaakov al HaBracha. All anti-Semitism till today is rooted here, which we suffer from greatly throughout the Doiros, including even in our time. So the Ran writes that this was purposely so. Hashem wanted it to be that way, because Hashem wanted us to keep us away from the Goyim. Had Yitzchak given the bracha to Yaakov, and Yaakov wouldn't have taken it away, at least the way it looks, he took it away from Esav. So Esav wouldn't have hated him for it. But the way Yaakov did it, Esav hated him. And this led to anti-Semitism, but that's how it had to be. This way, the Jews and the Goyim normally, most situations, stayed apart. They never mingled. Because the Goyim considered the Jews vermin, and the Jews considered the Goyim what they considered the Goyim. And they lived in the ghettos, and they lived by themselves. They never mixed, they never interacted, only for business occasionally. It's different today, even though today's a different situation, but that's also another topic. But that there was a purpose for it. The Ran says that that's why. That's why Hashem made it that way. But clearly this leads to Yaakov having to run away. He has to run away to Charan. And his galus begins here. Kum lech padena aram. And at the end of the parasha it says the word padena four times. Kum lech padena aram. Then again, vayelech padena aram. Veshilach oisai padena aram. Vayelech padena aram. Four times padena, which is a remise to the four goliyos, the four empires that come later. Because as we know, whatever the avos did, ma'aseh avosim l'banim. So whatever they went through, we go through, we went through, we will go through. So Yaakov went through Golus. In fact, he symbolizes Golus. Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov is the one who goes into Golus. So we also go into Golus. And the fact that it says Padena four times means there's going to be four stages, four Goliyos. And then at the end, Ayelech Esav El Yishmael. Esav joins with Yishmael, indicating that there's going to be at the end Golus Yishmael. So how does this fit with what the Baal HaTurim says, that this is the parasha that talks about Smichas ben David? The Eila told us Yitzchak, that's Smichas ben David that comes after Yishmael falls. Al Pnei Kol Echav Nofel that we read at the end of Chayisara. But the parasha doesn't end off that way. And as we mentioned, the beginning and the end of the parasha are connected. The parasha starts off with what the Baal HaTurim says is Geula, but it ends with Golus. It ends with all the Goliyos, Padena four times, Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. The fact that this is being read as we approach the Yom Tov of Chanukah indicates that this has to do with the Yom Tov of Chanukah as well. What is the connection? And we find an interesting Baal HaTurim at the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha when Rivka is concerned that she might be pregnant with a schizophrenic who at times tries to run out when he sees a shul and then when he sees a church, and she's nervous that this is one person who can't make up his mind, and she's upset. Why does she even ask for this pregnancy? So she goes to Shem Ben Noyach, who tells her, no, it's Shnei Goyim Bevitneich. It's not one person, it's two. One is going to be a tzaddik and the other, we'll see, but this is two different people, so you don't have to worry about it. It's not one person who can't make up his mind. It's two different people. Shnei goyim bevitneich. Now, the word goyim here is written goyim gimel yud yud mem. It's a ksiv kri. It's written like as if it says geyim, and it's read goyim. So it's written like it says gimel yud yud mem. That's why Rashi tells us geyim ksiv, and who are these geyim? Who are these nobles, Geyim are nobles, Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus is a descendant of Esav, who later converts. And Rebbe, of course, is Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Shaloi paskume al shulchanam, as the Gemara says in Brachas, they were very rich, and by every meal, they always had snoin and chazeres, whether it was in the summer, whether it was in the winter. So what exactly does this mean? Now, the Baal HaTurim on this pasuk says, Geyim is Begematria 63. This is the Baal HaTurim. Geyim, Gimel Yud Yud Mem, is equal to 63. And he says, Yaakov receives his bracha when he turned 63. As we'll soon see, the Cheshbon. Yaakov was 63 years old, and so was Esav. They were twins. When he receives the bracha from Yitzchak. And then he adds, and Esav later comes with 63 nations to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What about the other seven? Aren't there 70 nations? He says, the other seven were uprooted. Zion Umais Ne'ekru. I guess he means the Kanani and the Chiti and the Amori. They were wiped out the first time around. And that's what he says. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Nun Gimel says, Kuloi Sog Yachdov Ne'elochu. Sog. So it comes from the word segim, like sediment, the psilas, the undesirable part of a drink. You know, when these the part that sinks to the bottom,
sediment.
The sediment of the olive of the oil. When you want to purify the oil, Hanukkah is coming. Shemen Zayin Zoch. You get rid of the sigim. The sog is the sigim. That's those other nations. Kulei sog yachtav. What's the significance of the number 63? And Shnei Goyim Bevitneich is Rebbe and Antoninus. So in other words, there's good that comes out of Esav also, because Antoninus was a great man. He was a Roman Caesar, Roman emperor, but he later converts, and he becomes very close to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as Chazal tell us. Now, we just mentioned that, as the Baal HaTurim says, Ve'ela told us Yitzchak, this is talking about the Tzmicha, the rise of Yitzchak after the fall of Yishmael. Why is Yitzchak the one that is chosen here to be the remez for the Geula and the downfall of Yishmael? Now, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Peites Amud Beis, that when the Geula is about to take place, there's going to be a big kitrug on Klal Yisrael, a big kitrug, how do we say kitrug in English, prosecution. And Hashem is going to ask Avram Avinu, what should we do with the Jewish people? Your children have sinned. Bonecha chotu. So Avram Avinu is going to answer, Yimachu al kedushas shemecha. Let them be erased. Avram's going to say that. So the Gemara says, Hashem says to Avram Avinu, you're too old. We'll go to the youngest. We'll go to Yaakov Avinu. Maybe he'll have pity. So he goes to Yaakov. Yaakov says the same thing. Yimachu al kedushas shemecha. All right, he says, the old one, the young one, we'll go to the middle one, Yitzchak. Yitzchak defends us. And Yitzchak makes a whole cheshbon that a person lives 70 years, and half his life he spends sleeping and then eating and drinking. How much could a person sin already anyway? It's only 2.5 years. He makes a whole cheshbon, and that is the defense. And then Hashem says he will redeem us. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk that le'osid lovay, we're going to call Yitzchak, you are our father, as opposed to Avram and Yaakov, because they will not defend us, and he will. So Yitzchak is associated with the Geul. In fact, Yitzchak means he will laugh. Ozi malei sechayk pinu. So if Yitzchak is going to be in his chus, the Geul is going to come. And the Geul comes when Yishmael falls. So the Torah hinting to us here that when Yishmael falls, the Geul is going to come. It's told us Yitzchak as a result of Yitzchak. Told us also means result. It's going to be a result of Yitzchak because he's going to defend us. And also, as we know, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Avram corresponds to Chesed. Yitzchak is Avoda, and Yaakov is Torah. Al Torah Avoda Gemilas Chasodim. Avoda is Tefillah. Yitzchak is Tefillah. And as we mentioned last week, Tefillah is going to bring the Geula. Tefillah is going to save us from Yishmael, Yishmakel. In order to be saved from Yishmael, we're going to have to daven a lot. And then Hashem is going to listen to us. And Yitzchak represents davening. He represents Avod. Now, it's interesting, Agav, that every tzaddik has a mesnagid. Bechlal. There's always the counter, the one with the zela umazeh of the tzaddik. Many will say, oh, so many people don't hold of this and this tzaddik. On the contrary, that he's even greater than you think, because he has so many misnagdim. So Avram Avinu had a misnagid. Who was his misnagid? Nimrod. Avram comes to teach the world that there's one God, and Nimrod rebels against Hashem. Ken ye omer ken Nimrod gibar tzayid lefnei Hashem. Now, what's interesting is, the day that Avram passes away, which is in this week's parasha, that's when Esav comes back. If he killed and he did every Aveira and he denies Hashem, and he says, Oyefanoichi, and Yaakov is making the soup, the Nazir Adoshim, the lentil soup, because he's preparing the meal for Avraham, who's sitting, for Yitzchak, who's sitting Shiva for Avraham. Avraham just passed away. Where did Esav come from? It says Esav came from the field where he killed someone. Who did he kill? He killed Nimrod. Because now that Avram's not here, Nimrod can't be here, because they both Zela Umazeh. He is the rival of Avram. There's no Avram, there's no Nimrod. What about, we'll skip Yitzchak for a second. We'll go to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, who's his rival? Esav. His misnagid is Esav. So, also in this week's parasha, Rivka says to Yaakov, you better run away. I'm afraid I'm going to lose both of you in one day. Loma eshkal gam shneichem yoim echad. And that's what happens, even though they don't actually die the same day, but Yaakov is buried. And then Esav is killed the same day, which really that's the death, because Yaakov loy meis, he's considered dead when he enters the Maris HaMachpelah, when he's buried. And that's when Esav is killed, the same day. There's no Yaakov, there's no Esav. Now let's see Yitzchak. Yitzchak, his rival is Yishmael. Now, they don't die the same day. Interesting, they don't. But something does happen. Yitzchak says here in this week's parasha, when he's benching Yaakov, and before that he calls Esav, originally his intent is to give the bracha to Esav. Why is he giving him a bracha now? He lives another 57 years after this. He was 123. When Yaakov and Esav are 63, the number 63 as mentioned before, that means Yitzchak is 60 years old. Pasuk says, Yitzchak ben Shishim Shon, it's all in this week's parasha. Yitzchak was 60 when Yaakov and Esav were born. So if Yaakov and Esav just turned 63, so Yitzchak is 123. So, and he calls them, it says in the Pasuk, he's old, he can't see anymore, v'techena einov me'ra'os. And one reason Rashi says why he becomes blind is that he shouldn't see, because if he would have seen, Yaakov never would have got the bracha. And then he calls his oldest son Esav and he says, lo yadati yoim moisi, I don't know when I'm going to die. Maybe now. Why did he think he's going to die now? So Rashi says, because it was 5 years before Sarah's death. And a person has to be concerned 5 years before or after when his parent passed away that he might also. So Yitzchak was concerned. His mother died at 127. Maybe he'll also, within the 5 years, so he wants to give them a bracha. Now, Yishmael died that year. Yishmael died then. It says at the end of the parashah, it's Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. And then it says, who married? Esav went to Yishmael. Then it says, and Esav marries Machlas Bas Yishmael, the sister of Nevoyos. And Rashi asks, why does the Pasuk have to say that she was the sister of Nevoyos? First of all, Yishmael had 11 other boys. He had 11 other children. He had 13 children altogether, 12 boys and this girl here, Nevoyos. So why mention only, the Machlas rather, why mention that she's the sister of Nevoyos? So Rashi says, because he married her off. What happened to Yishmael? Yishmael died. Esav went to Yishmael, he was still alive, they made the Shidduch, and then he dies. And so who marries them off? Nevoyos. So when does Yishmael die? He dies now, here, when Yaakov and Esav are 63. Now, meaning that when Yitzchak says, Lo yadati yoy moisi, I might die this year, right? It wasn't just that he was concerned maybe he's going to die. Yishmael dies that year. The rival Yishmael does die this year. He says, Lo yadati yoy moisi. Now, in reality, he really was considered dead already. Why? Rashi says in Parashas Vayetzeh, when Hashem benches Yaakov on his way out of Haran, Hani Hashem Elokei Avraham ve'Elokei Yitzchak. So Rashi asks the question, and Hashem never calls a person living with his name, because Elokei Yitzchak, even though we don't find anywhere it says in the Torah that Hashem should be miyached his name on tzaddikim when they're still alive, because even the greatest tzaddik doesn't know till the last day, a person doesn't know, Hein b'kadosh v'lo yamin, al tamid ba'atzmach ad yoy moischot. Yitzchak is different. Why? Rashi says, v'shechahu einav, his eyes became dim, he got blind. And he was locked in the house. He never went out. He was in his house all the time. No one ever saw him. V'harehu kemeis. V'yetzahara posak mimenu. No yetzahara. He's like dead. First of all, a blind person is considered dead. Suma chashuv kemeis. And the fact that he had yetzahara, he's also like dead. Because without a yetzahara, there's no more challenge. He's already in Olam Haba. It's like he's not even living anymore. So technically, Yitzchak did die then. He did. Yishmael actually dies. Yitzchak dies in a certain sense too that year. So all these rivals, Avraham, Nimrod, Yitzchak, Yishmael, Yaakov, Esav, that one is the rival to the other, really do pass away, at least to some actually, and some you could beruchni is the same year or the same day. So Yishmael is the rival of Yitzchak. But you find interesting in Parshas Vayera, when Sarah sees how Yishmael is behaving, it says, Vateres Sora as ben Hamitzris Mitzachek. Also, the word the Torah uses is laughing. He's laughing, and therefore he has to be kicked out of the house. Why? Because he's laughing? Why do you kick someone out of a house? Because they're laughing. So Rashi says, because Mitzachek means, it doesn't mean laughing. It means he was engaged in the three cardinal sins. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim. So he has to leave. He's teaching Yitzchak the wrong things. Now, he was the rival of Yitzchak. So Yitzchak is tzchoik. Yitzchak is laughter of Kedusha. And Yishmael is mitzachek, is laughter on the other side. True, later Yishmael does tshuva. Yishmael comes back. Yishmael does tshuva, as we mentioned in last week's parasha. But his descendants are out of the picture. They're not considered Jewish at all. Now, in fact, Yishmael is also not. The Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham hailed as Yitzchak. What is the Torah telling us? Yitzchak is the true child of Avraham. They all ask, why does it say it again? Avraham hailed as Yitzchak, when you just said Yitzchak is ben Avraham. So Rashi gives the answer, because people were claiming that really it's Avimelech's child. They never had any kids. All of a sudden, she becomes pregnant. It must be from Avimelech. So Hashem made him look exactly like his father. Avraham hailed as Yitzchak. As the Baal Turim says, hailed is begematria doime. That he looked doime. He was exactly in appearance like his father. Everyone saw it. It was clear. This is clearly Avraham's child. It looks exactly like him. All his features. That's why, in fact, Avraham had to ask later on that people should get old, because people didn't know who was who. They looked exactly the same. They both had black beards. They both looked youthful. When Avraham was already 100, whatever age he was, and Yitzchak was, well, later, I guess, but a little older, and Yitzchak was 20, and Avraham's 120, looked exactly the same. How are people going to know who's the elder one? So Avraham asked that people should age. So they looked exactly the same. But perhaps we could say another idea. The Pasuk is telling you, the Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham. Why is only he called ben Avraham? Why isn't Yishmael called ben Avraham? You just told me, Al Panei Kol Echav Nofel, Yishmael is going to fall, and then Yitzchak is going to rise. Why is Yishmael out of the picture? Why isn't he also considered a child of Avraham? He, after all, he did tshuva. The answer is, Avraham hailed es Yitzchak. Meaning, when was Yitzchak born? After Avraham was named Avraham. When Avraham had a bris, Avraham was already Jewish. Yishmael was born before that. Yishmael was born when he was Avram. He was not Avraham. So he's not part of this. So Yishmael was not a Yid at all. That's what the Chidah says. Nothing good comes out of Yishmael. We see that today already. Nothing. They don't convert to Judaism ever. And if you find a case that they do, they're not a real Yishmael. Yishmaelim do not convert to Judaism. Bnei Esav, Christians, do. And many do. But not Yishmael, because Esav was a Jew. Esav was born Jewish, this week's parasha, in fact. He's born, it says he would have had a bris, but because he was red complexion, so they pushed off the bris, and once they pushed it off, then he got older, he didn't want to do it, so he never had a bris. But a Yid he was. The Gemara calls him a Yisrael Mumer, the Gemara says in Kedushin. So, despite that he was a Rasha and he died without doing tshuva, Yishmael does tshuva, but he's not a Yid. Esav never did tshuva, but he is. So from his descendants, there are great people. In fact, Rabbi Akiva, Shmaya v'Avtalyaim, Rabbi Meir, are descendants of Esav. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav kitzayit b'fiv, the pasuk says. Yitzchak loved Esav because he fed him. This is Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak loved him because he brought him home Chinese or whatever he brought him. That's why he loved him, because he gave him food to eat. That's the Yitzchak Avinu that we're talking about. They never did an Avera. Of course not. Kitzayet b'fiv, says the Ari HaKadosh, means that in Esav were captured neshamas. In Esav there were nitzutzei kedusha. Yitzchak loving Esav, he was able to draw out those sparks of kedusha that were in Esav, because Esav was born Jewish. And that doesn't say anywhere that Avraham loved Yishmael. Kitzayet b'fiv, but Yishmael there was nothing. There was no nitzutzei kedusha that had to be extracted. Or we could perhaps say the fact that Yitzchak loved Esav, that love itself is what brought it out. That love that Yitzchak had for Esav is what causes that later on, some of the greatest Tanoim, the Morei Torah Shebaal Peh, come from Esav. Vayav Yitzchak es Esav. Esav is Rosh HaTevis. Akiva Shmaya V'Avtalyim. That's who we love. Not really Esav, it's who comes out of Esav. The great tzaddikim that come out of Esav, Yitzchak loves. So from Esav, there are nitzutzei kedusha, from Yishmael there is not. Now the Torah tells us that in Golus we're not allowed to go into the domain of Esav. The Pasuk says it in Parshas Devarim, Al tisgar bam, don't antagonize them. Now you're in Golus, Esav's land belongs to him, Esav's domain. Ki Yerusha le'Esav nasati es ha'seir. But there will come a time when you'll be able to go into the domain of Esav. When will that be? The Pasuk says, I didn't give you any part from Esav ad midrach kaf rogel. Not even a footstep. You can't even set foot into his land. Says Rashi, until the time when v'omdu raglov bayoyim hahu al haraz Esav. That's ad midrach kaf rogel. when Hashem will set foot kaviyachol on Har HaZeisim, which is on Melchemes Gog Magog takes place, then the Olam Hashem Behar Tzion L'shpoit is Har Esav. Then we enter the boundary of Esav. Then we go into the domain of Esav. Then we're not afraid of Esav. Then there's no prohibition of antagonizing the nations. Then there's no problem of being doichik esakets and all the oaths that we have to be, that we're bound to b'zman ha'golus. But there is a certain time during the year that we do go into the domain of Esav, even b'zman ha'golus, and that's Chanukah. Chanukah is the ha'orah of the Yemais HaMashiach. Chanukah, as the Bnei Yisoscha is Mayrich, the Pinchas Koritz, and actually it's the Rekeach, and all the Chassidish Sfarim speak about it by Arichas. Chanukah is Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach. Chanukah is the Or HaGonus. So Chanukah, since Chanukah is the Oiroi Shel Yemais HaMashiach, when Mashiach comes, we'll be allowed to go into the domain of Esav. So on Chanukah, we go into the domain of Esav. How do we go into the domain of Esav? The whole Yom Tov of Chanukah is different than any other Yom Tov. The way the Yom Tov was established, as we mentioned many times in the Shiurim, we find a phenomenon by Chanukah that you don't find by any other Yom Tov. Number one, the mitzvah is Mishetishka HaChama, when the sun sets at night, not during the day, nighttime. Even though in the Beis HaMikdash, they lit the menorah by day. They, at least it was lit when it was still day. But by Chanukah, it must be lit only after it's already night. Mishatishka HaChama. Nighttime is the domain of Esav. That's the domain of the Klipos. That's when all the powers of evil rule. Boisir mois kol chai sayoar. The menorah is lit by the entrance of the door. Al Pesach beisoy mi bachutz. Outside, like in Eretz Yisrael, they do it in some places even today. Outside, in the Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain. Rishus HaRabim is Esav's domain. Chutz is Esav. Yaakov stays in the Beis Medrash. Esav is the one who goes outside. But the menorah is lit outside. And on what side of the doorway, says the Gemara? On the left side. Left is the domain of Esav. Right. The right side. We always do everything with the right hand. Right over left. Yamin over smile. But Chanukah is on the left side. Every Yom Tov starts either in the first half or beginning of the month. When the moon is getting larger. Many don't make weddings after the 15th for that reason. Today we do, but it's brought down not to because of the mazel, because the moon is decreasing. No Yom Tov starts in that part of the month. Let's say, for example, Pesach, of course, is the midpoint. The moon is full. Sukkot, the moon is full. Shavuos is the 6th and the 7th, the beginning of the month. Rosh Hashanah is the real beginning. Yom Kippur is the 10th. Purim is 14th, 15th. Chanukah is the only Yom Tov that starts at the end of the month. Chof Hei. When the moon is going down, in fact, one of the days of Chanukah, the moon is totally concealed. There is no other Yom Tov like that when you have a Yom Tov at the end of the month, leading into the next month, but it's the end of the month, Chav Tes or Lama, when there's no visibility at all. So what is this about Chanukah? It's being lit at night, on the left side, outside, second half of the month, and below 10 Tfachim. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Mitzvah L'Hanicha L'Mata Miyud, L'Mata Mi'asara. Gemara says in Sukkah that the Shechina never went down below 10 Tfachim. May Oilam Lo Yarda Shechina L'Mata Miyud. Where do we light the menorah? Where the Shechina didn't go. You know, Chanukah is so powerful. This is not to put Chanukah down. This is to tell us how great the Yom Tov of Chanukah is. It's so great that it can go where no other Yom Tov can go. It illuminates the outside. It illuminates the left side. And those that are on the left. And today there are many who are on the left. And it goes below 10 Tfachim. And it goes in the part of the month where the moon is in decrease mode. These are all the domain of Esav. Chanukah, we go into the domain of Esav. The Bnei Yisoscha tells us that Esav was killed on Chanukah. That Yaakov was buried on Chanukah. Yaakov dies on Sukkot. His Yom Tov is Sukkot. Yaakov is connected to Sukkot. He passes away on Sukkot. And it says in the Pasuk, 70 days later, until they got to Eretz Yisrael, that's when they buried him. He says it makes a cheshbon, it was on Chanukah. That means Yaakov is buried on Chanukah. That means Esav is killed because it's the same day on Chanukah. The Mapala of Esav is Chanukah. So Chanukah is not only the Mapala of the Greeks, the Yevonim, but it's also the Mapala of Esav. And basically, that's why on Chanukah we mention in the Mo'iz Tzur the Mapala of all the nations. We talk about Bavel, Kates Bavel, Zerubbabel. We speak about Mordechai and Esther. Why talk about Mordechai and Esther on Chanukah? Christ Kaimas Beroj. Bikesh Agogi ben Amadasa, and of course the Yevonim, and then Edom, and then we talk. Why? Because Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Yemois HaMashiach. It's Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach. So therefore, it's the Mapala of all the Umos, including Yishmael, which is coming. And on Chanukah, we get a ha'orah of what it's going to be like in Yemais HaMashiach when we are going to go into the domain of Esav. It's interesting, the pasuk says, Hashem will set foot on Har HaZeisim. Har HaZeisim is Mount Olives. What happens if you step on olives? What do you get? You get olive oil. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Shemen Zayizach. This is the Yom Tov of olive oil. And Hashem is going to step on Har HaZeisim, and there's going to be a flow of olive oil, kaviyachol, beruchnius, begashmius, and that's going to usher in the Messianic age, tchias hameisim, melchemes goygumagag, bias hamashiach, and so forth. So perhaps this is the reason why, in this parsha, we learn how Yaakov goes into the domain of Esav. That's exactly what he's doing. He's even dressing up like Esav. He's really antagonizing Esav here. Something which we're not supposed to do, bizman hagolus. So Rivka, the Ruach HaKodesh, and this is how the Hashgacha HaElyona wanted that it should be, that Yaakov is going to take the brachas from Esav in such a way that he's going to go into his domain against his will. He's going to actually dress like him. There are many interpretations why that the Jews should get a bracha, the Klal Yisrael should receive bracha even when they look like Esav, even in times when we don't deserve the bracha. That's how he looks like Esav. Even then, we still should get the bracha. And this bracha, v'yitem l'cha ha'elikim ital ha'shamayim u'mishmanei ha'oretz, most learn that this bracha never happened yet. It didn't happen yet. It's going to happen when Mashiach will come. This is a bracha of Yemais HaMashiach. And even according to what Chazal tell us, mishmanei ha'oretz is Torah Shebal Peh, Mishnah. And Rav Dagon v'tirosh is Gemara, Torah Shebal Peh. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Torah Shebal Peh. Chanukah is the Yom Tov in which we received the revelation of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is the hidden part of the Torah. It's hidden in Torah Shebiksav. Just like the oil was hidden under the ground, the oil became revealed, the Or HaGon is Torah Shebal Peh. And Yitzchak is blessing Yaakov with Torah Shebal Peh. He thought he was blessing Esav. That's why from Esav comes the Tanoim of Torah Shebal Peh, Rabbi Meir and Shmaya Vavtalion and many others that... Rabbi Akiva is the Moshe Rabbeinu of Torah Shebal Peh. He's the descendant of Esav. So Yitzchak had a cheshbon why he wanted to bench Esav. Rivka knew that if he benches Esav and not Yaakov, that's going to end up, the bracha is going to end up going, it's going to be too much. The bracha will end up going to Esav, and who knows how much we'll suffer. Imagine we suffer now, even though Esav did not get the bracha. What would happen if Esav got the bracha? So Yaakov clearly is going into the domain of Esav here, dressed up like Esav, To extract the Nitzutzei Kedusha from Esav, to extract the Bracha from Esav, and the Bechayra from Esav. And here's where Yitzchak paskins. Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. Baruch is the same letters as Bechor. He's the Bechor. Now I see he's the Bechor. When Esav complains, it says, why did you call him Yaakov? Now I know why. He took away the Bechor. So Yitzchak says, one minute. What did you just say? He took away the Bechor. You sold him the Bechayra? Oh, so I was worried the whole time that I gave the bracha to the wrong one. Gam Baruch Yehiyeh. Now I see, he's really the Bechor. So here is where the Bechayra of Yaakov is solidified, when he gets the bracha. And how old is he? 63 years old. 63 is a number that is associated with Chanukah. For those who know, most learned Chassidus Shesvarim, most Sifrei Kabbalah, know that there are four miluim of the Shem Havaya. Hashem has... The name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei can be spelled b'miluoi four different ways. You know, it says Yud-Vav-Dalet-Hei-Aleph, or Vav-Aleph-Vav, or Yud-Vav-Dalet-Hei-Yud-Vav-Yud-Vav, or Hei-Hei. There are different ways how to spell the miluoi of the Shem Havaya. There are four miluim, what's called Ab-Sag-Ma-Ban. One is equal to 72, that's Ab. One is equal to 63, that's Sag. One is equal to 45, Ma, and then there's Ban, 52. Altogether, that's equal to 232, which is Begematria, Yehi-Or. And in many of the Sidurim, the Kabbalah Sidurim, have it on the bottom of Mekabetz Nitche, Amo Yisrael, you're supposed to have in mind. When you say Mekabetz is also Begematria, 232, equal to the four Miluim, Absag, Ma, Ban. Now, Chanukah is a Ha'ora of the Emois HaMashiach. It's almost... that Mashiach came. Almost. We get a taste of it. We go into the domain of Esav. So all the Sifrei Kabbalah, these Svarim that they have now that they print, that have the Kavonis that you're supposed to have when you say B'tzivonu L'had, like Ner Chanukah, that Chanukah is Ches Nun Vav Chof Hei. But Chanukah has in it the letters Ches Nun Hei equal to 63, And then Chavav, which is equal to Yod Kei Vav Kei. In other words, Hanukkah is the Yom Tov when the Shem Havaya of the Miloy equal to 63 is revealed. And there's a whole arichas on this. The Reb Nachman Breslover speaks a lot about this. Bina, Hanukkah is Bina, B'nei Bina, Yemei Shmoyin, and Sag. That's the Shem of Hashem that's connected to Bina. So Hanukkah has to do with Sag, with the Shem Havaya of the Miloy Sag, which is 63. Because Hanukkah is the Yom Tov of purification. We are purifying our, that's what it is. Shemen Zayah Zach. To remove the sediment, to remove the sog, the sigim, the undesirables. Klal Yisrael became pure on Hanukkah. We were free from the nations on Hanukkah, unlike Purim. Purim, we don't say Hallel, because Purim was still slaves to Achashverosh. Akati Avdi to Achashverosh Anan. Hanukkah is the only Yom Tov that compares to Pesach. Pesach. Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, we left Mitzrayim, no more Paroi, no more Mitzrayim, we're free. Hanukkah, we're free. We're free from Golus Yavam, which lasted 180 years. And now, for the first time, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they were able to have the Beis HaMikdash without foreign rule, which the first 214 years, they were under the rule of the Persians and then the Greeks. For the first time now, they're on their own. So the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash, the second one really takes place, not when it was first built, but by the nace of Chanukah, which is one of the reasons it's called Chanukah. Chanukah HaMizbeach, Chanukah HaMikdash, because that's when they really dedicated the second Beis HaMikdash. They were now free from the yoke of the nations, which Chanukah, in that respect, Chanukah is like Yemois HaMashiach, that we will be free from the yoke of the nations. That's why on Chanukah, the Yom Tov is established in such a way, as mentioned before, that we're going into the domain of Esav. So since Chanukah is associated with the name of Hashem, the miloy of the Shem Havaya equal to 63, everything here in this parasha has to do with 63. It's like so clear. The fact that Yaakov is 63 when he gets the brachas, and he's doing what he's doing is an act of Chanukah, because he's going into the domain of Esav, and he's extracting the Ditzutzei Kedusha from Esav. He's taking the Bechayra away from Esav. And yeah, and Yitzchak is masking, and Yitzchak gives him the bracha, which is really a messianic bracha. And it's giving him a bracha about Torah Shebaal Peh, which Chanukah is the amtav of Torah Shebaal Peh. And what makes it even more beautiful is when Yaakov says to Esav, "Sell me, michra chayim es b'chayros chali, sell me your firstborn right." Now he says, "Michra chayim." Everyone asks, "Like day, sell me like day." So Rashi says, like day is clear, a clear sale. I don't want there to be any doubts. You sell me the Bechira now. And that, no, and he contests it later anyway. When they come to the burial, he blocks them from going in. He says, what do you mean? I want to be buried in the Marzah Machpelah. What Yaakov really wants over here, says the Chassam Sofer, is the burial plot in the Marzah Machpelah. Because who gets buried in the Marzah Machpelah? Only the firstborn. Yitzchak's the firstborn. Avram's the firstborn. So Yaakov is not really the firstborn. Esav is the firstborn. So Esav should be buried in the Marzah Machpelah. In fact, part of his head is. So what Yaakov is asking over here is Yaakov sees Esav doesn't deserve to be buried in the Marzah Machpelah. He comes back after killing Nimrod. He comes back after being Mazana. He comes back after denying everything. He says he doesn't believe in anything. Avram died. He doesn't believe in Olam Haba. He doesn't believe in the future. What do I need it for? I'm going to die anyway. So Yaakov says, Michra Chayim. What does he mean? He says, the Chassam Sofer says, I want you to sell me the Bechayra for the day of burial. I want to be buried in the Marzah Machpelah. Now, Unkelus translates here, Kiyoim Dilhain. What does Dilhain mean? So Rashi says, Dilhain means clear. Interesting word. You don't really find it too often. Dilhain. Now, based on what we said before, the Bnei Yisrael says, when was Yaakov buried in the Marzah Machpelah? On Chanukah. So, Dilhain is Begematria Chanukah. Chayoim, that means when is he asking to be buried in the Marzah Machpelah? On Chanukah. Chayoim, when it says it with a Pasach, it's like Kehayoim. Otherwise, it would have said Kiyoim. Ka is Keha. Kehayoim is Yoim Chofhei. Sell me the birthright so that I can be, the firstborn, that I can be buried in the Marzah Machpelah. And when was he buried in the Marzah Machpelah? On Chanukah. That's when he was buried then. That means on Chanukah it was established that Yaakov is the Bechor. We are Hashem's firstborn. Yaakov is Bnei Bechayri Yisrael. We are the true continuation of Avram and Yitzchak, not Esav. Yishmael, we know, is out of the picture already. Yishmael wasn't even there to begin with. Esav was, but now he's out. He himself is out. He's not the Bechor. Yaakov is the Bechor. And when is he buried? He's buried in the Marzah Machpelah on Chanukah. Mikra Chayoim. Ki Yoim Dilhain. Dilhain Begamatria Chanukah. So when was this revealed? When Yaakov turned 63. So when Yaakov turned 63, that number, the number 63, which is the number associated with Chanukah, because that's the Shem Havaya of Chanukah, which is the Miloy of Samach Gimel. Maybe with this we can understand that Balaturim that we mentioned before. Shnei Goyim Bevitneich. Goyim, Geyim is Begematria 63. The number 63 again. And Yaakov, with the koyach of him being 63 at the time he got the bracha, will be able to combat the 63 nations that are going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to come by Churban by Yesheni. What does him being 63 have to do with it? He got the bracha when he was 63. He receives the bracha, the Bechayra. It's now established. The Yomtiv of Chanukah was now revealed. Yaakov gives us the Yomtiv of Chanukah now through Rivka's intervention and through going into the domain of Esav. Shnei goyim bevitneich is begematria lahadlik ner Chanukah. Chanukah has the power not only to eradicate Esav, but to elevate Esav, because the part of Esav is good. There is a part of Esav. We illuminate the street. We're going out into the street. We're not trying to kill. We're going out into the street to light up even the street. The street recognizes that Hashem is one. The Goyim recognizes that Hashem is one. The Chiddush of Yemos HaMashiach is that the nations are going to come to the recognition. Not just us. We know Hashem is one. The Chiddush of Mashiach is that V'hoyah Hashem L'melech Al Kol Ha'oretz Ba'yoyim Ha'uyi Hashem Echad Shmo Yechad. That everyone recognizes. We say it every day in Aleinu. Yakiru v'yedu kol yoshvei sevel ki l'chot tichra kol berach tishava kol oshn. Everyone. And that happened here. Shnei goyim bevitneich. Antoninus becomes a ger. Antoninus, a descendant of Esav, recognizes that Hashem is one. And he joins with Rebbe. So Shnei goyim bevitneich, knows that there's going to come a time when Esav is also going to be incorporated. Part of Esav will also recognize that Hashem is one. And Chanukah goes into the domain of Esav, not only to eradicate Esav, but also to illuminate, to elevate the good part of Esav, and to extract the Nitzutzei Kedusha of Esav. V'rav yavoy tzoir, the older one will be subservient to the younger one. It's Rabin biyad ma'atim. The Rav Yavoid Soir is Bigamatria of Tzivandu Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Chanukah is the Ma'atim overpower the Rabbim. It's not the quantity, but the quality. A small amount of oil lasts for 8 days. A small band, an army of 13 people, as Rashi says in Parashas V'zayis HaBracha, only 13 Maccabees fought this huge multitude, this huge army of the Syrian Greeks. So maybe this is the idea. The Eglah told us Yitzchak. So the Baal HaTurim tells us, this is Tzmichas ben David. At the end of the parasha speaks about Golos. It talks about Yaakov going into Golos, and Yaakov has to flee Esav. And by Elch Esav El Yishmael, it's all part of Geula. We have to know, it's all part of Geula. The Golos is only to bring to Geula. That one should know, when we see the intensifying by Elch Esav El Yishmael, and today we see it, Esav's joining with Yishmael. We've seen it in recent years. It's only a raya that we're getting closer to the time of Toldos Yitzchak. What's very interesting, Rashi at the end of the parasha here brings down that the Gemara and Megillah, here Rashi brings a whole arichas. How do we know that Yaakov was in the Beis Medrash of Eivor for 14 years? There's no pasuk that says that. But if you look at the dates and what we're told about in the parasha here, there's a discrepancy of 14 years. And Rashi makes the cheshbon here. And part of the cheshbon is that Yaakov had to be 63 when he got the brachas. And the fact that he was 63 when he got the brachas, if you count when he left, he ran away. And later on he comes back. And when he goes to Mitzrayim, he says he's 130 years old. He's only 116. So there's 14 years missing. Those are the 14 years that he went to Eivor. How do we know this? It says we know it from the fact that Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. We know that because Yishmael dies over here, because it says afterwards that it was the sister of Nevoyos. Nevoyos marries her off as a right. He wasn't alive, means he died over here. And if he died over here, we figure out how old Yaakov would have to be, 63. The whole cheshbon that Rashi brings over here, so from the years of Yishmael, the fact that the Torah tells us how old Yishmael was, that he was 137, from that we can derive how old Esav and Yaakov are by the brachas, that they have to be 63. We learn from the age of Yishmael that Yaakov is in the Beis Medrash of Eivor for 14 years. So what does that tell us? That when Yishmael is making trouble, when there's a problem with Yishmael, hide in the Beis Medrash. Do what Yaakov did. He was Nitman Bebeis Eivor. He hid in the Beis Medrash of Eivor for 14 years. He was Isaac and Torah. That was his way of combating Yishmael. Specifically, as we mentioned last week, Torah Shabbal Peh. HaKoyl Kol Yaakov. This week's parasha, HaKoyl Kol Yaakov. What we have is our mouth. We have the Kedushas HaPeh. HaKoyl Kol Yaakov. Is Bigamatria Melech HaMashiach. That's what's going to bring Mashiach. The koil of Yaakov, the koil of Tefillah, the koil of Torah. Chanukah is a very unique Yom Tov. There's no Yom Tov like it. It's the only Yom Tov that has this power, that's able to go where no other Yom Tov can even think of going. It's a domain where we don't enter Bizman HaGolus. But on Chanukah we go. True that on Purim there's also this certain arrogance of Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtach, and Mordechai doesn't bow to Esav, even though we're in Golus, Mordechai does not bow to Haman. Both Purim and Chanukah have this unique character because they both are associated with Binyamin. Binyamin is connected Chodesh Kislev. Kislev is Binyamin. Every month is connected to a different Shevet. Kislev is Binyamin. Binyamin was the only one who didn't bow to Esav, because Binyamin wasn't born yet. They all bowed to Esav. He didn't. So Chazal tells us because he didn't bow to Esav, he was Zoichar. The Beis HaMikdash is built in his portion. And what do you do in the Beis HaMikdash? You bow to Hashem. The only someone who did not bow to any goy, never ever humbled himself to a goy, never gave in to a goy, only he is Zoichar at the Beis HaMikdash, should be built in his portion. Now, Binyamin, from him comes Mordechai and Esther. We all know that. V'lo erev yichalek sholol. Mordechai and Esther come from Binyamin. And Kislev is Binyamin. That means the Yom Tov of Chanukah is in the month of Binyamin. So both Chanukah and Purim are Yomim Tovim, that we're not afraid of Esav. We're not worried to go into the domain of Esav. There's no fear to antagonize Esav on these two Yomim Tovim of Purim and Chanukah. And that's why the Medrash, in fact, says, we're used to the Chazal that says Purim will last forever. But there's a Medrash, the Chanukah will also last even after Yemais HaMashiach. In fact, Chanukah is Yemais HaMashiach. So of course it'll last after Mashiach comes. It is. It's the 8 days that we get a taste of Yemais HaMashiach in this world. So certainly when Mashiach will come, every day will be Chanukah. So this Yom Tov that's coming, the Yom Tov of Chanukah, especially in our time now, in Ikfas of the Mashiach and Moitzai Shvi'is, the eighth year is Mesugel for Bias HaMashiach, as we mentioned already many times, especially this Moitzai Shvi'is. But we see already the rumblings, and we see what's going on. So when Vayelech Esav El Yishmael, when the Golus intensifies, when all the tzoros that are happening, the Chevelei Mashiach, this is in the parsha of Ve'eglah told us Yitzchak. You should know that it's told us Yitzchak. What's happening now is Smichas Ben David. It might take a little time. It could take another minute. There's Chevelei Mashiach. When a baby is born, there's pain during the labor. And as the labor intensifies, the pain gets strong. But that means that the birth is coming. Before you know it, the baby will be born. Told us Yitzchak, the revelation of Yitzchak. Leidas Mashiach Ben David. So in the same parasha, this is Taka Mashiach the Kaparsha. This is a Chanukah the Kaparsha. A Kislev the Kaparsha. All this is part of the Geula. It's all to lead to Yerushalayim. Four times it says Padena. Padena, by four times. Padena is equal to 149. 149 times four is 596. That's equal to Yerushalayim. Padena, 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 Padena. Every Golus gets us closer. Every Golus brings us to Yerushalayim. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Yerushalayim. It happened in Yerushalayim. Chanukah happened in the Beis HaMikdash. It's the only Yom Tov that occurs in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. No other Yom Tov. Purim was in Persia. Pesach was in Mitzrayim. Shavuos was on Har Sinai, which is not part of Eretz Yisrael. The Sinai Desert is not part of Eretz Yisrael. And Sukkot had to do with going out of Mitzrayim as well. The only Yom Tov that's associated with Eretz Yisrael, with Yerushalayim, with Beis HaMikdash, is Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov of Binyamin. Binyamin is Kislev. Binyamin is the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael. And the Beis HaMikdash is in the portion of land of Binyamin and Yerushalayim. That's where Chanukah originates from. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is the hidden light that we read about at the beginning of the Chumash, Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Vayar Elohim, Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Vayavdeil. And that phrase, Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Vayavdeil, says Rashi is talking about the hidden light that was put away for the future, that is revealed on Chanukah, as the Bnei Yisrael and Pinchas Koritz and all the Tzaddikim talk about. Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Vayavdeil is begematria of the word Chanukah 8 times. That's 712. Chanukah is 89. 89 times 8 is 712. Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Vayavdeil. This is where Chanukah is rooted. This is the Or HaGonos. This is the hidden light. This is the light that separates us from the Goyim. Torah Shebaal Peh separates us from the Goyim. That's what separates us from the nations. The Goyim have Torah Shebaksav too. They believe in the Bible. They have the Bible. But Torah Shebaal Peh they don't have. That's only for us. HaKol Kol Yaakov. HaYodayim Edei Esav. Koil, that's for Yaakov only. And Chanukah is the Yom Tov of the Koil, the Halal V'Hoidah. As the Bnei Yisrael tells us, Chanukah is the windpipe. Purim is the food pipe. So Chanukah is the voice the sound, the praising Hashem, Halo v'Hoidah, Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what differentiates us from the Goyim. That was given to Yaakov, Yitan Choyal, Lekim Ital, Hashemayim, Bishmane, Oris, his Torah Shebaal Peh, and slightly to Esav, even the thought to give it to Esav, perhaps just the thought is why from Esav comes Rabbi Akiva and the great Tzaddikim who gave us Torah Shebaal Peh. So this parsha takes us into the month of Kislev, the great month of Kislev that is coming, the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Yom Tov of Oirei Shel Melech HaMashiach. Tonight, tomorrow is Erev Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur Katan, then we go into the month of Kislev. We need a nes now more than ever. Bayomim Hohem Bizman Hazeh. What Hashem did then, He will do now. The Yom Tov is Ma'orer, the Zman. B'shona Acheres, the Gemara says, the next year they established Chanukah as a Yom Tov. The Kedushas Levi says, why did they wait till the next year? They waited to see if this is this time frame, if during this time you feel a certain Kedusha. And the next year, they felt that Kedusha. They knew that from now on, these days are days of Chanukah. So every year, and Chanukah is different than any other Yom Tov in another way. As the years pass, the further away we get from the original Chanukah, the brighter the Chanukah. Why? Because the darker it gets, the brighter the light. Clear like that. When you have a room that there's already light, light doesn't really help. But the darker it gets, the light seems to be getting brighter and brighter. So if this is the last Chanukah in Golas, hopefully, or maybe not, maybe this is already going to be after Mashiach will come. But certainly the last Chanukah at the end is the brightest Chanukah. It's the greatest. So in the Schuss of Chanukah, just like in those days, we experienced the Rabban Biyad Ma'atim and the Tmeim Biyad Tehoirim and the Rishoyim Biyad Tzadikim. And despite that, we look around and we say, but we're surrounded by 70 or 63 wolves, whatever it is, the number. We're surrounded by an enemy that wants to destroy us on every side. What's the chances that we can survive? We did then, we will do now. Bayom Mahaim, Bizman Hazeh. Misha Asan Nisim Lavisayin, Bayom Mahaim, Hu Yasan Nisim Venefois, Bizman Hazeh. We should all be Zeichet to those Nisim. And we should be Zeichet to Chanukas, Bayis Hashlishi, and to see Matis Yahu, Koyen Godel, light the menorah in the Bayis Hashlishi together with Mashiach Sidkenu. Have a good evening and a good Chodesh.